There's the Arizona Rooster waking you up for the Arizona Birthday Weekend Celebration, Valentine's Day special edition of Rosie on the House. Good morning, Arizona. It is your Saturday morning wake-up call, and we're here broadcasting live from the State Capitol Mall, right underneath the shadows of the State Capitol Building, which in today's capacity has served as the Arizona Capitol Museum. We have communications manager of the museum here with us this morning, Ms. Kim Crawford. Kim, thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Rosie. Thanks for having me.
Here celebrating Arizona's birthday. We've got a whole series of events going on today. Invite them down.
Well, come on down to the Arizona Capitol Museum. We open today at 10 a.m. If you get here early, don't worry. We've got plenty to do out on the Capitol Mall at Wesley Bowling Plaza. But at 10 a.m., we'll have the State Archives displaying rare documents regarding Charles Poston, who also happens to be the subject of our presentation today at noon from the Arizona Capitol Museum Guild.
The father of Arizona.
Yes. The presentation's by Gilbert Storms. He recently wrote a book on Charles Poston. And then we also have Supreme Court Justice Scott Bales receiving the Polly Rosenbaum Award for his support of the State Library. For those that don't know, the State Library and the museum are part of the Secretary of State's office, so we're celebrating the Chief Justice and how he has recognized libraries as being part of getting out into the community and a way for the community to access some legal information.
And the award is named after
Polly Rosenbaum.
Mm-hmm. Who I think retired from the legislature at 92.
I'm not sure how old she was. She was one of the longest serving legislators at 45 years.
She was from the Globe, Miami area.
Yes.
Gila County.
She took over the post after her husband passed away. And she was a real, real champion for education and for libraries and archives and everything that we do here. So we honor her by naming our awards after her.
Wow. She was a true legislative icon for decades in the great state of Arizona. So how appropriate to name something like this after her. We'll be talking a lot more about people, events, and the actual building itself from 9 to 11 with State Historian Dr. Jack August, who Kim has arranged for us to get with. So I'm really excited. We all had lunch down here at Friday. What was it called?
Food Truck Friday.
And had lunch down here on the mall. And between Dr. Jack August and Don Ryden and you and I, we're going to be able to talk up a historical storm for 2 hours between 9 and 11.
Yes, for sure. We're looking forward to it very much. Thank you.
We are as well. 8 o'clock hour, we're in the landscape outdoor hour of Rosie on the House. We've brought in special guests, Mr. John Eisenhower from Integrity Tree Service.
Good morning.
If you have a tree question, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You could also text your question to 411-923, or if you need a visual you need to send us a visual of your tree, you can email that to info@rosieonthehouse.com. February, Valentine, Arizona. Citrus is the first thing that comes to mind.
Yep. On Valentine's Day every year, we think about fertilizing our citrus trees and also some other trees, too. This is a good time to put fertilizer down on your garden, your trees, your shrubs, your ground cover, your flowers. It's a great time to be fertilizing as the bloom is just setting. We've got fruit trees are blooming, but we also have a lot of other trees that are starting to set bloom, so you want to get that fertilizer down. Good time of year.
Do y'all have a best practice or a favorite method for applying y'all's?
That's a good question. You know, fertilizer is a chemical, and the trees and plants don't really recognize what form it's being delivered. All they're anxious for is to make sure they get the chemicals. You know, a lot of our fertilizers are in a slow release formulation. They've got a coating over the fertilizer particle on your granules, which allows them to kind of slow release over a longer period of time. So they stay in the soil. Each time you irrigate, they're releasing that fertilizer to the plants. But there's good quality liquid fertilizers, which are kind of nice because they distribute better into the soil. We do a lot of liquid fertilizer applications, because then you're immediately getting that into the root zone, and we like to be able to distribute that quickly to the trees and get some nice uptake. So any way you put it down, you could even do foliar applications. Occasionally we'll spray trees with a fertilizer application on some of our cypress trees. We've had really great success on cypress that have started to kind of gray out. They've had some problems with mites. Well, in addition to the miticide treatments, we're actually spraying the trees with a fertilizer product, and we've had really great results. They're nice and green because the actual foliage can absorb the fertilizer as well. It doesn't have to just be put down on the ground.
What do you do at your home? We've got a master garden tour coming up here March 2nd, and your home is featured on that. You guys have very impressive grounds.
Yeah, that's March 12th. Saturday, March 12th is the Master Gardener's Real Gardens for Real People tour. And it's a great tour they have every year. They feature gardens in a certain part of town. This year it's going to be in North Phoenix, Scottsdale. There's 6 gardens on the tour. You buy tickets, and then you can attend all these various gardens. Well, my wife and I are hosting one of those gardens, and we just are excited about it, getting the place all spruced up and ready to go. And we'll have experts from all over the valley attending each of the various gardens. At our garden, we have an expert on chicken raising chickens. We have an expert on pruning trees. We'll have an expert there on raising fruit trees in the desert. We have 19 varieties of fruit trees at our house, so we've got a plethora of citrus and stone fruits and figs and grapes and mulberries, and we've got lots of big selection of trees, and it's exciting. It really is. We're getting everything ready to go.
Nothing like having guests over, especially expert garden guests, to help you
We have an expert pruner coming in, Rick Robinson of Stillwater Landscape Management, because they, as the garden host, I've sort of excused myself from teaching the pruning because I want to be able to welcome the many guests. They expect 300 or 400 people to come through the tour every year, so busy day from 9 till 4. So tickets are available online. Just look up Master Gardener Real Gardens for Real People Tour, and you can get yourself some tickets and start anywhere on the tour you want. You don't have to start at any specific one of the 6, and spend a day, get some nice, great gardening ideas. It's a fun tour to go through. In fact, we get to go through the tour the day ahead.
Nice.
The garden owners, because we won't have a chance to see the other gardens in their full glory, so they give us a little pre-tour on the day before. And I'm really looking forward to getting new ideas. Take my notepad, and you can go around and just learn from all these other great gardeners.
You mentioned you kind of step back from your pruning. That is one of your bullet points for today, pruning frost damage. Are we out of the clear? I don't know. It's getting chillier as the sun comes up. This breeze has picked up between these two buildings. And
normally our average last day of frost is February 15th through the Phoenix area. It can vary slightly from community to community. But this is a time of year when we do say you can start pulling the frost cloth off your plants. The one caveat is if you just look at the weather report right now, look at the 10-day forecast and see if there's any freeze that's coming on the horizon. If there's not, at this point, you're pretty much, able to go ahead and take your frost cloth off, start to cut back all the dead wood from the frost damage, and begin rejuvenating and getting your plants ready for spring. There is the odd occasion when you get the late frost, you know, in late March or, you know, even April, we've had a few crazy frosts, you know, but it's on a very odd occasion. But usually after the 15th of February, 1st of March, you can start turning the corner into spring.
I don't imagine you're seeing a lot of frost damage on trees through the valley. I mean, this was a mild, mild winter.
It was, and even though we had a few frost...
that was like back in December.
I know, and the freeze wasn't these prolonged 4 or 5 day freezes where one day after another is what really gets the trees. And also, it's the long duration of the frost. Sometimes if you have one of those nights where it drops down to 30 degrees, at 10 o'clock at night, and it stays cold all the way till 8 o'clock in the morning, that's when the citrus gets blasted. Because if you get an overnight temperature that dips into the freezing just for an hour or so around, you know, 2 or 3 in the morning, that's not going to do that. It's not going to do that much harm to the plants. But we didn't have much of that.
We didn't have much this year at all.
Yeah, so we're happy about that.
Not a complaint on my side. We've got a texter new to Arizona who's ready to plant some produce trees, including apples, peaches, oranges, and they want to do a pecan as well. And The last phase, what do I need to know about watering by hand? So if you're going to water by hand, the last thing I'd plant is up a pecan tree. You might as well just stand out there with a hose all day.
I was going to say, how long do you want to stand out there? Well, depending on how well your soil drains is the big factor. And you can, we have wonderfully heavy soils. It's not so good because it doesn't have very much organic matter in it. But the one quality of our soil is it has high water holding capacity. The tighter the soil, that is, the more clay content that it has, the longer it can hold water. So that's one good thing. That's why our desert plants do so well, is our desert soil can hold the water, make it available to the plants over a longer period of time. So even though, we have to water more, we have extremely high temperatures, be careful that you're not overwatering your plants. Put the water on, make sure you get a depth of saturation to the bottom of the root zone. You can test that by putting a soil probe into the ground. And you can just get a long screwdriver or buy a soil probe at the local nursery or buy them online. And you can push it down into the soil a foot, 2 feet, 3 feet deep, and make sure you can see how deep you're going. You want to go at least 3 feet deep for mature trees, you know, maybe a foot or so deep for your mature shrubs. And then don't water again until the soil profile has dried out. Unfortunately, the soil surface looks dry because it'll dry out within hours sometimes or a day or so, and you think that it's too dry and you need to water again, but you need to be sure you dig down or push the soil probe down into the soil. And as the soil starts drying from the bottom up, you'll start seeing, you know, you can't push the soil probe into the soil any longer. That's time to re-irrigate. But be sure that you don't have actual water that's being held in the soil, and you're putting water on top of water on top of water. It's not only a waste of water, but it also can set up conditions for fungal pathogens to get active in the soil, and you can start having trees and plants start to decline and die from overwatering as a result of that. So, just a tip on now's the time of year to be changing your sprinkler timers back to adding a little bit more water into the landscape. Remember, too, it might be better to increase the duration of the watering cycle rather than increase the number of days you're watering. People always say, okay, we'll put on 3 or 4 more days on, but I'd rather have you just extend the time that you're watering so that the soil has time to dry out between watering.